What a joy it is to be able to share the Word of God with you. I really like the readings this week. You can grab your outline. Just talking about a heart of worship. That's what it seemed to speak to me about. Section from Ephesians is really about love. It's talking about love. It's comparing love we have in a marriage and the Pharisees. Actually, it was about loving God is really what they're about. They got a dilemma. The dilemma that these guys have is about worship. It really is. It's about worship. And Jesus is debating with these guys. And they're all about serving God. And they concentrated on that. That was their whole life was about that. And what Jesus is faulting them about is this. Jesus is faulting them that in all their strivings and working to keep the law and to please God and to worship Him, they didn't arrive at love. They didn't arrive at love. And the end of the law is to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what it's about. In all your worship, if you don't arrive at that, you've missed the mark. Let's pray. Lord God, open up our hearts and minds. Open up our hearts and minds to a work that You're doing, a work of grace through Jesus Christ. Bring us into Your Word now, Lord. Let it speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. And I would like to really share with you, kind of create in our hearts and minds a consciousness of true worship within ourselves as a community in Christ. Worship, what's the word mean? The word worship itself means to give something worth. To set something to say it's worth something. You can say that money is worth something to you, and you can actually end up worshiping money. I mean, you can make that your goal in life. What God is really looking for, He's looking for us to say, Jesus Christ, You are everything to me. You're everything to me in my marriage. You're everything to me in my relationships. You're everything to me in my retirement, in my work, in everything. That, Lord, You are the one that gives fullness. You are the one that gives meaning to me. And that is worship, where you just see the worth of Jesus Christ. And I think for many people in the world, this is a completely foreign idea. This is something that is just like from outer space. It's not even relevant. But for many of us, we want that. We want to worship God. We want to be close to Him. We desire that. You know, the Pharisees in our gospel reading, all right, they really loved God. And they wanted to serve God. And I don't know if it struck you as odd, but when you look at the reading and what Jesus brings up about what they're doing, did it bother you with what their tradition was? It really freaked me out. I mean, I couldn't believe that. Maybe it's just from a pastor's point of view. I couldn't imagine, let's say one of you guys come into my office and you come in and talk with me and say, you know, I've been helping out my mom. My mom's health is failing. And I've been giving a little bit of money and spending some time. And because, you know, she just can't make it on her own anymore. And so then I would tell you, I'd say, you know, okay, but isn't God more important? Isn't it more important to give glory to God and to bless Him and lift Him up? I mean, we all serve God, right? So what you should do is you should take all that stuff that you're doing for your mom and you should give it to God. And I promise you, God will take care of your mother. Actually, He will bless your mother as a result because you'll be putting God first. I don't know if that really bothers you, but I mean, I do not have a box in my brain for that. I can't imagine that way of thinking. And they had come to these conclusions. So Christ is saying to them, He's saying, you know, you follow the law, but you haven't arrived at love. You haven't arrived at compassion and sharing. And He talked about this in many cases with them. He said, you should be doing all the things you're doing, but you shouldn't pass over justice. You shouldn't pass over love. You shouldn't pass over caring. This is what just really absolutely amazed Him. And I'd like you to see something in the verse that He quotes from Isaiah. You'll notice that He talks about lips, as Carol talked about. in the her kids' message. And we say with our lips, we say words, we come to church, we sing praises. You speak to your coworkers and students and things like that. That comes out of our lips. And then you'll see they mention the word worship in there too. And as I was mentioning, we have an English understanding of worship. But the Hebrew understanding of worship was very different, because for the word that they're referring to in this context, and since they're talking about Jewish people, it is an action. And you know this because when Jesus was talking on the Sermon on the Mount, he was talking about the worship that the Jewish people did. And it involved them standing on the street corner giving alms. It involved them singing and saying prayers out in public. It involved them going down to the marketplace, coming back, making sure they were ceremonially clean. What it's getting to is that your life is worship. Everything that you do. Everything that you do. And what is missing in that, he was saying, is the heart. In that verse from Isaiah, the thing that bridges it together is our hearts. And I thought of this example to try to help me understand this, and I want to share it with you about how important our heart is in our serving of God. And it actually came from Brian this week. Brian Holderfield, some of you guys know Brian, he's our elder, and he's with us today. Well, there was a really cool article that was written by Jim Rosso in the paper this week. So it was really nice. It was about your retirement. And they really miss him, so sorry to put you on the spot. But when you're in the paper, as I said, you're public fodder there at that point. So you know, he had this really nice retirement. They were really happy about him. Has that ever happened to you guys at a place you work where somebody retires or they move on or something like that? And there is just, they miss the person. I mean, they really do. I've experienced that. Have you experienced that where, you know, the person is going on and they're retiring or they're taking another position or something like that, and it's really from your heart? You know, maybe there's a gold watch, maybe there's a big retirement package, maybe there's other things, but there's tears. There's something that motivates us from within where we'll really miss this person. This person means something to me. And then maybe a month after that, old Grumbleful retires. And when old Grumbleful retires, there's the same plaque, there's the same party, there's the same words, there's the same pleasant platitudes, the retirement package is there, maybe a gold watch, but no heart. We go through the exact same motions because we should, and it's the right thing to do, but our heart is not in it. And that's what Jesus is talking about. And it made me think, okay, how do we get this heart? How does this true heart of worship come into our life that's supposed to extend out into everything that we do? And what occurred to me is it comes from actually seeing who Jesus Christ is. Because returning back to Jesus' interaction with the Pharisees, it comes back with knowing who Christ is. Understanding what He's done for us, His compassion, His love, His care, His concern. When you start with the law, as the Pharisees did, when you start with rules and regulations, it's keeping the law and keeping the rules and regulations is important. And if you think about it, relationships are secondary. They're not as important. But when you start with relationships and you start with love as the primary thing, it changes how we look at people. You can think about this. Think about when you first fell in love. You know, for us that are married, think about when you first fell in love with your spouse. And I know some people right now that are in that kind of bubbly moment, right? I mean, it's just everything. You're like, woo, you know, there's rainbows and unicorns flying and all this sort of stuff. You know, I mean, it's just, it's like that. And we don't really think about the rules and the laws. You don't. It's not how you're really thinking. You see, and what Jesus is trying to share with us, he's trying to say, you know, I love you. I care for you. I'm giving my life for you. It is not about the rules and about the regulations. And you know, I really believe that if the Pharisees could have seen Jesus as he really is, that they would have acted differently. They would not have thought the same. They would have been different people. Think about this. Have you ever said this to somebody, I love you because? I've said this. I know to my wife. I've said, I love you because. I said this to other people. I love you because. And then you say it. How would God fill in the blank? What would God say? I love you because. I think one thing he would say, I love you because of Jesus Christ. Because Christ paid for all your sins and you are totally clean. You're beautiful. We need to hear that. We need to hear that all the time. He would say, I love you because this is who I am. I just love people. I am love. I love you because it's who I am. And it's just his nature. It's the reality of who he is. And Jesus' love for us is not based on our performance. It's not based on, you know, how much you do. It's not based on anything like that. And I would share with you, I just like to, because I know things get us upset, right? People don't measure up. They don't do the things they're supposed to do. And that's frustrating to us. It's difficult to us. So what do? You're going to deal with that. Maybe you're dealing with that right now. Maybe you're dealing with that this week. What do? Well, I would encourage us to grow in the heart and mind of Jesus. And from a grace-based perspective, let us look at it this way. Let us look at it from the perspective of what Jesus Christ can do, with an expectation of faith. With a heart of faith, believing that Christ can come into this situation, can come into my heart, and he can actually work. And when you feel like you're frustrated or you're, you know, it's not measuring up, or you feel that thought of judgment. Do you know, I looked up this week because I was curious that we are actually hardwired. Research tells us that our brains are wired to make automatic judgments about people's behaviors. It's just a normal thing. We're actually wired to do that. And the reason why is there's just so much in life, it helps us process life and helps us work through life in an effective manner. So it's good for us just to kind of stop and sit back and just let God work and believe God is working. We are His children. We're part of His family and community. And to speak that to ourselves, in your outline, I put some verses that would try to encourage us and try to bless us and try to bring us in that direction. And last week, I shared something with you that can help us actually actively do this, actually actively walk in this. And it's 1-1-1. The first ones are really important. The third one is kind of iffy, and I'll tell you why. Because it was to pray for one person for 1 minute a day at 1 o'clock. And I'll keep reminding us to do this because this is where we can really just... And pick someone that needs to know Christ, that might be difficult, that might be a challenge. And just pray for that person. You want to pick one person. We can do this. 1 minute a day. And the one is kind of maybe a little lame in some cases. Like, for example, you might not be free at 1 o'clock. Like for me this week, as I'm praying for this one person, I realized it's 12:35 and I'm going to forget at 1, so I better pray now. But I remembered, and this is a really amazing, powerful thing that helps us focus and helps us realize the power of Jesus Christ, because really living and serving and worshiping is a heart that's transformed by the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. And when we live that out, when we act that, it brings it to life in us and we see it coming to life in others. And that's what God is wanting to see. I pray that really God would just encourage us and bless us and help us so that, you know, so our worship would be sincere. It would be beautiful. Whether, as we heard in our epistle reading, it's between a husband and a wife, or between kids and parents, or whatever it may be, or in the workplace, that it would flow from our hearts and it would be just a statement to this world that needs to hear the love of Jesus Christ and needs to hear it through you and I. Let's be that light. Let's be that example. That's what God's called you to be, and He will empower us through faith in Jesus' name. God bless you. Amen.